I will now let you listen to the first clip, which is Darren Brown conducting the personality profile experiment, which I did with you in the last episode. So I might just give some explanations because there may be some things that you can't, you know, you have to see. You probably need to watch the video to really understand some of these things. So I might explain some things for you. But here's Darren Brown doing his experiment with these personality profiles. Okay.
Do you think astrologists, palm readers and the like can really tell everything about you? That your personality can be read from your birth date, your hand, or from sensing vibrations? Very possible. As ever, the volunteers here have no idea of what we're about to do. I'm going to ask each of you to take a sheet of paper and to draw around your hand on the paper, that's what the pens are for. And when you've done that, to write on the paper your birth date, and if you know it, your time of birth as well, be very useful. And thirdly, to take some personal object that you have on you. Please don't choose anything that is immediately recognisable as being yours. You're going to put them into one of the numbered envelopes. It does not matter which one. Does that kind of make sense to you all? All right, okay, I will look the other way. If you can do that for me now, that would be great. Any bit of paper, obviously, any pen, any envelope.
Okay, so Darren has asked them to write their names, their dates of birth, and the time of their birth, and to draw around their hand on a piece of paper, and also to take some personal item, could be a ring or something like that, something in your pocket, and put them all into an envelope. Now, this is all part of the trick. This is meant to make the people feel like, somehow, by giving up this personal information, that this is contributing to Darren's ability to read their personality. So that's all part of it. Now, in my experiment over the internet, I didn't do that. I just had to try and convince you that somehow I had sort of special powers, and I was able to read the mind of one person. I was hoping that all of you would feel like you were that one person. Now, in this experiment that Darren is doing, yeah, he's just asked them to like give up some things like an outline of the hand, personal item, name, date of birth, and that somehow using this, that's going to help him identify their deep personality traits. Actually, it seems to work that when people think that they're giving something to the mind reader, like these personal objects, that is somehow going to help him with the magic. It's quite interesting, really, to see how that's working. By the way, in this episode, in this clip, he's got three groups: a group in the UK, a group in Spain, and a group in the UK. So I'll explain what the Spanish people are saying.
You put your birth date on the paper into any envelope you like, along with some personal item, please. All done?
Yes.
Can I get somebody just to mix up all the envelopes and hang on to them so that person has all five envelopes as well? Remember your numbers, please, because that's the only way you're going to be able to identify the correct envelope later on. And I will come round now and talk to you. Excellent. Thank you. Okay, so each envelope has a drawing of a hand and a birth date and a little object. I will take these envelopes away and I will try and write a description of the personalities of the owners of those things. Okay? While I go and do this, we've got a place for you to sit down. We've got some refreshments there, some tea and coffee, paella. And I will come back in and we'll see how it goes. Probably take me about an hour to do this, and I will try and be accurate. I'm not going to be general. I'm going to try and be very specific about things. So bear with me, and I'll see you in a bit. Okay. All right. Cheers. Hello. I finished. So, if you can each take your envelope, if you can remember your numbers. You're going to go away and read this now. I don't want you being able to read each other's, though. It's very important you kind of only focus on your own one. Really try and spread yourselves out around the room so you're not able to see each other's. And then we're going to ask you individually what you make of it. So go do that. See you in a bit.
By the way, Darren keeps saying, see you in a bit, see you in a bit, see you in a bit. That's like, see you in a bit, see you in a bit, which means see you soon. But it's a very common thing for people to say in the UK. So I'm going to go and do this, see you in a bit. So see you in a bit just means see you soon. Okay, see you in a bit.
Go to that. See you in a bit. Thank you.
I was very overwhelmed when I read the analysis. Darren mentioned that, of course, I'm very self-critical, so reading this sort of thing was very difficult for me anyway. It's unbelievable. I can't believe how accurate it is.
I kept reading to the paper in awe, saying, I can't believe he's analysed me so accurately.
It does feel actually so personal. It's actually quite hard for me to share.
Help yourselves.
I feel like it pretty much summed up who I am. The part about self-examination, I think, like, which was in the first sentence on the page, I feel like, oh yeah, that's me.
It's kind of astounding. I've always believed in something like it. This just kind of confirms it, but it also shocks me because I didn't think it would work so well.
It's true. Like, all this stuff is true. I don't get stuff done because I don't like the idea of mediocrity, and that's so true. That's it right here. What the heck? It's so weird.
It was shockingly accurate. Very likely this will lead you to having considered writing a novel, but the fear that you won't be able to achieve what you want stops you from getting it done. And I actually started writing a novel when I was 17 and had written several chapters but didn't finish it because, I don't know.
He visto cosas que ni siquiera yo había visto de mí misma.
Nunca había hecho antes algo como esto.
Okay, at this point we hear some of the Spanish people with their comments. So one of them, he's seen things that I hadn't even seen in myself. I have never done anything like this, and I thought it would be a bit more general, a bit more vague, like a horoscope or something, when in fact it goes into very profound things about my personality. I would give it 75%, but the remaining 25% isn't important, because the 75% was so accurate and so personal. 80%, another guy says, because there are things that he nailed perfectly. She says, it could be 90%. And then we're back with the Americans. Okay.
Que están clavadas, que es perfecto.
90% puede ser.
I would give it the reading a 95% accuracy rating.
85%.
Like 40%.
85%.
90%.
99%. Definitely.
Okay. I want to try something else. First of all, if you can all take your readings out of your envelopes and just hold on to them but fold it up, please. Just the readings, not the hands and so on. Thank you very much. This may sound a bit frightening for some of you, but don't worry about it. Can you just mix them up and pass them around so you don't know whose you've ended up with? What I'm going to ask you to do in a moment is to have a look through the reading that you now have in your hand and see if you can identify the person that it belongs to.
Okay, this is very clever of Darren, because now he's sort of convinced these people that he's written like a perfectly tailored profile for each person. But now what he's doing is he's asking them to pass the profiles around between each other, so read other people's profiles and then try and work out which profile it is. But of course, what they don't know is that all the profiles are exactly the same. So I'm sure that they're going to be quite surprised when they realise that they all had exactly the same profile.
Can you open this up now and just have a look? If you've got the same one again, just mix them up again and take somebody else's.
Not my one. Everyone got their own.
Right, start again.
Oh! You're destroyed!
Yeah, in fact, you have all got exactly the same reading.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Me too.
They are all exactly the same.
La lectura per Torah es todas son exactamente igual.
Ah.
Ah. They're all exactly the same.
Stupid. Stupid.
Please don't feel stupid. This is a skill, it's something called cold reading. It's a technique used by people who claim to be psychic, people who claim to talk to the dead. It's as old as the hills. And if you think for a moment, actually, of how even more effective it would be if I was a psychic working one-on-one with you. And we've given these to people in America, and we've given them to people in England, and it's always the same. Thank you so much for coming along and doing this and being honest with it, and I hope this has given you something to think about.
Y hace cinco minutos creía mucho en esto porque...
Okay, here's some more Spanish, so let me just explain what they're saying. This guy's saying, until 5 minutes ago, I believed it because the reading was so accurate about my personality. And then we get... and 5 minutes later, that has all gone down the drain. It's incredible. And she says, I feel like I've been used in every way. it's incredible how strong this is. Yeah, it is amazing. And then we go back to the English speakers. Here we go.
I love this experience. The fact that everyone does have the same insecurities, you don't feel that alone.
Had not gotten to the second part, I would have walked away from here thinking that you had psychic abilities.
Okay, she said that if we hadn't done this second part, if you hadn't told me that, then I would have walked away from here thinking that you had psychic abilities. So there you go. It's actually fairly simple and fairly it's a lot easier than you might expect for these people to convince you that they have psychic abilities. Okay, so I think Derren Brown is kind of an authority on this subject, since he actually uses a lot of these techniques himself as a magician, as an illusionist. So now you're going to hear an interview with him in which he explains some of the techniques which psychics use. He's going to talk about cold reading, which is when psychics can appear to read the minds of people that they've never met before. And he's going to talk about Barnum statements, which you've already heard about in this podcast. But he's very articulate, very clever guy, and really very talented illusionist. And he really knows what he's talking about. So listen up, listen carefully, because this is quite an interesting interview, in my opinion. Here it is.
Derren, could you begin by telling me what cold reading is and how it's used?
Cold reading, I suppose, is the way that a complete stranger can seemingly tell you everything about yourself without being psychic and without knowing anything about you. In essence, the cold reader, or psychic, is supplying a lot of words, and you as the sitter, the other person, are supplying the meaning to those words. And it relies on a lot of techniques. It's not really a question of forensic body reading and the sort of things that people might... It's not really normally even that clever. There are linguistic tricks, which, unless you're aware of them, are very easy to fall for. And those tricks can give the impression that the person knows everything about your character, or might refer to facts and things from your life or from your past that they seemingly couldn't know about.
So if a psychic, a so-called psychic, a trickster, was trying to pretend to guess, I don't know, the name of the sitter's grandfather or something like that, what would be the kind of thing they might do?
Well, very often, I mean, even guessing the name of a grandfather, if you back up, what tends to happen is that the psychic will, if it's with a group of people, throw out a name and saying, I'm getting the name John or Albert or some name that's sort of suitable for the age group they're working with. And now that name could refer to a person in the audience who's living, or it could refer to someone that's died, or it could be a friend of the person. You know, it really could be anything. So it's up to somebody to pick up on it and turn it into what they want it to be. And of course, if they say, yes, that was my husband, then the reader can go, yes, that's right, he's here, he's saying he still loves you, or whatever that is. And they turn it back into, make it sound as if they were saying it was your husband, when in fact it could have been anybody, it could have been the name of the person that was sat there. The kind of methods that involved the Barnum statements are very sort of famous and well known about, and there's a great experiment.
Remind us what the Barnum...
Yeah, there's a terrific experiment that was done on this with... students, I've filmed this myself, we did it with three different groups of people across the world, where you have everybody in the group is given a reading, a personality reading, and normally beforehand there's some nonsense about asking for their birth date or getting some objects off them, that, you know, so there's some sort of process apparently involved, and they're given a reading, and it's a long reading, it's a very detailed personality reading, and they all get one individually, they're all asked to read it,
And invariably, they will all say afterwards that it's very, very accurate, that it was not at all vague or ambiguous of what people might expect. And they'll give it 85, 90, 95% accuracy. And I've seen this happen and people are amazed by it. And then you get them to swap with each other. And so maybe perhaps you can identify someone else by their reading, then they realise they've all been given exactly the same thing. Which was written months ago before I even met them, you know. And the statements that fill those sorts of readings are generally Barnum statements. And Barnum statements are things which essentially apply to anybody. This is only part of the cold reading skill, but it's a major part of it.
It comes from P.T. Barnum, the circus proprietor,
who
said, "We have something for everybody."
Something for everyone, that's right. Okay. And famously, a sucker was born every minute. So these are statements along the lines of... You're somebody who you tend to keep people a little bit at bay, but when...
Well, you're a caring person.
You keep people a little bit at bay there. You tend to keep people at arm's length, but when you allow people into that inner sanctum of, you know, when they become your close friends, if they betray you, then that really hurts, you know. And you're not saying anything other than you're closer to people that you're close to. Then it means nothing, absolutely nothing. Yes.
Yeah. And horoscopes are the same. I mean, they use the same principle.
Because those things have to apply to anybody, because there's no interaction going on, you know, a horoscope or something given, you know, when everyone's getting the same thing. There's no feedback, so you're simply relying on things that apply to anybody. What you can do when you're interacting with somebody is you can fork off from one way or another. Be careful I say that. You know, you can go one way or the other depending on the response you get. So if I said to you that the spirits are telling me you've got quite a temper, you could answer yes or no to that. You might agree or disagree. Now, if you agree with it, it feels like a hit, and I can say, yes, that's right, I can sense that you've got a real temper, ... If you say no, I can say... well, not on the outside. I mean, what you've done is you've learned how to sort of keep that very contained. But inside, you'll be aware that there are some things that really kind of knot you up and make you very angry. But what's great about you is that you've learned to control that on the outside. It still feels like a hit. Linguistically, what they tend to do is they say, they put the word not into the question. So they'll say things like, one recent reading I was listening to was, she said, you haven't been drinking a lot of water recently, have you? And by phrasing it in the negative, it allows a yes or no to be a hit. And the answer was no. And she said, well, you should do. The spirit's telling me you need to be drinking more than you are. You haven't been drinking much. And it sounded like a hit. Equally, if the person said yes, it would have seemed like, yes, they're telling me, either way. Then a common ruse also is to make statements that allow you to have both sides of the coin in one go. So, for example, if I said to you, you've got an extrovert side and an introvert side, that's not remotely convincing at all. That seems to be a given. But if you say to somebody, when you're at a party, you're very good at being able to hold court, you know, you can entertain people, you're very good at being really the life and soul of a party, but what's interesting about you is that when you walk away from that, you'll often find yourself at home running back through conversations in your head and wondering, oh, what did that person mean, why did I say that, that was stupid. And when you're even at those parties, even though you like to think that you're somebody who can be in charge and very charismatic, you'll often find yourself just stood there thinking, God, why am I here? It's like everyone is a million miles away, and you're aware that that is a facade that you put on. Now, whether or not that applies to you, the fact is all I'm doing is saying that you've got an introvert and an extrovert side, which cancels itself out. It means nothing. And yet most people will find a way of sort of making that easily fit themselves.
Now, when you analyse these things like the Barnum effect and cold reading, you're doing it in a sort of rational way. Mm. I take it that the psychics and palm readers and astrologers and people who do it know perfectly well what they're doing, and therefore they are fakes. But are all of them fakes, or do some of them somehow manage to fool themselves as well?
I think the difference is how good they are at it, which is unfair in a way, because it maybe a bit becomes...
The good ones are the fakes.
I think... The difference is you can see when cold reading is at work, when you know the tricks, when you know the same old things coming out about, you've got an old box of photographs at home with and you've got the tricks that they come out with, and the pushing for statements, making somebody make a statement hit, and if they don't, moving on to the next person. You know, one I was listening to recently, you've been doing a lot of spirit telling, you've been doing a lot of sewing. And the woman was like, no. She said, well, is it somebody in the spirit plane has been doing a lot of sewing? No, she couldn't make a hit. And it was, well, so we went to the next person. Is it for you? Have you been doing a lot of sewing? The woman was, no. She said, well, is it a coat? You've got a coat at home with, there's a button that's loose or a hem that's loose? No. I mean, it wasn't working. And in the end, she said, well, have a look for that, my dear. They're telling me there's a, you know. And it went from somebody with, you know, to nothing. So there, and when you see that, that's clearly that person is, they know exactly what they're doing. They're desperately trying to get a hit. However, I think the people that are, you know, I've been to psychic training colleges and seen people that are very sincerely trying to learn. You know, they've been told they believe that they're a bit psychic because, you know, we all have a certain amount of intuition, and we all, you know, if we misunderstand things like kind of coincidence and a phone ringing because we've been thinking of somebody earlier on that day and the phone rings and it's them, we might mistake that for being psychic if we don't really understand how those things can easily happen quite a lot of the time. So I think there are plenty of people who learn it genuinely and really think that, you know, whether it's palm reading or tarot cards or whatever, that there really is a system.
But
and they just
say they go to a training course.
These things do exist. Medically, you can buy books on it nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm just trying to get into the mind of one of the instructors on the training course. I mean, the instructors on the training course are teaching cold reading while dressing it up as though it was genuine. So they really are charlatans then.
I think so. I think so. It's difficult because cold reading is something that you can be taught to do without it seeming like tricks. I've been in a situation where trainee psychics are sat around saying things to each other like, I'm sensing there's some of the great things I heard was, I'm sensing you're on a bus and the bus is going the wrong way, but it might not be a bus, it might be a relationship. And when you're hearing things like that, you think, well, okay, this isn't cold reading, this is just people sort of apotheosizing intuition and just learning to just, well, I'll just speak openly and I know this other person's going to make it fit because we're all partisan and we're all learning together. And that just seems sort of naive
but
a shame.
When they're learning it all together, they're still dressing it up in their own minds as the spirit world talking to them rather
than... But all it is it's just being intuitive and being open and being... Well, just say what you feel. That's all it is. It's this whole thing of intuiting your way to enlightenment and knowledge, which is, you know, a potentially disastrous way of thinking.
Okay, that was Darren talking about the subject.